going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Chugged along. Here's Martinook moving in. A shot!
Zone drops for Domi. He's through. Domi scores. Max Domi's the overtime hero in game two.
And a chance now to break this game open. Right out in front, they score. Matthew Tkachuk in his first game with the Cats since February 8th. Barkov worked it to the net front. Tkachuk through a crowd. They score.
Hartman threw it off the side of the net. Centers, and Foligno scores!
How's your save percentage? That's my question of the day.
Well, let me start by saying this. I went through the whole day yesterday thinking we were Wednesday. Until late last night, when I was like, I'm going to go put the garbage on the side of the road. Why? They come in a day early? All the kids are like, they come in a day early? No, like, we're Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. We're Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Okay, thank you. On that note, I'm going to bed.
Okay, so we're still clearly trying to recover from a delayed start to our week on Monday. It has thrown us off, and we're trying to rein it back in.
And but a short week because we don't have a Friday show. So it's like...
It's a lot shorter week than we anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, we thought we were going to get, you know, this hour as 38 minutes or whatever. Well, right. Four, five times. No, we missed on. Anyway, all I'm saying is that maybe I wasn't prepared yesterday as much as I should have. You asked me a question at the end of the show about, you know, like, who's the next up-and-coming coach, right? And I was like, I don't know. So I decided, okay, I'll do a little homework on that, and then I'll be better prepared. But there was a couple of teams last night that weren't prepared and got spanked, and, you know, that was the significance of Tuesday night in the NHL. Not Wednesday night in the NHL.
Well, that's an interesting word. I'm probably not going to dwell on it too much, but I mean, like, prepared, that is. Like, I think they're all prepared. Like, sometimes games just go, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. You and me, but by me observing you, I tend to focus on these things more. And this... ironically happened when we were in Vegas that time when we went to see the Henderson Silver Knights. Yep. And you immediately looked at Logan Thompson and said, this guy loves the attention.
Oh, loves the attention.
Okay, so tell me, if I'm going down this path, and I can't even say it. Before the game unraveled for Vegas.
Yes.
Did you happen to see something that their goalie did?
Well, not before it unraveled. I think it was the 3-0 goal that I was like, he looked at his glove way before that. But okay. But the one thing that I was like, This is interesting. So I believe it was Zuccarello came in on a partial breakaway, took a quick shot, hit Hill in the glove, and the puck still went in the net. And he did the one like, oh my gosh, do I have a hole in my glove type of situation, which, you know, was... Then I went into trying to find a video because I remember a game we played years and years ago against Ottawa, and a point shot went through the webbing of Patty Lalime's glove and hit him right in the head.
Yep.
And even like Patty and I and one morning Jacques Martin laughed about it. We're like, hey, do you remember when the puck went through your glove? And Jacques goes, I almost pulled him right then. I'm like, what the heck? And so we were laughing. But 8-0 last night on that play, I was like, not a good look when you have to look at your glove to see if there's a hole in it.
Yeah, and this is me overanalyzing or overthinking, whatever. Hill was really, really good early.
Yeah. Really good. It would have been 4-5-0. Yeah.
He knew he was really good early. And to me, it all unraveled after he showed how good he thought he was. So he had the sequence and the first commercial break where he stopped the breakaway and then the next play came out and he got it with the glove. And he knew as soon as the puck went in his glove that the commercial timeout was happening. His mask was off inside of 2 seconds, and he made a beeline to the bench with a, and I don't even know the guy, so maybe I'm wrong to say this, but it was like a look at me, look at my last
sequence. Look at what I did.
I can't wait to get to the commercial break so the cameras are going to be on me without my mask on. And this is what Logan Thompson was doing the night we saw him. And just doesn't take, this is what makes great players and great goalies. Like, you want to thrive.
A little arrogance. Yes.
It was hilarious to me that was my thought in the moment, was like, okay, calm down. Like, it's a tie game here. And then it all unraveled. So it's probably why I started with the snarky comment about goaltending today.
Well, let's just pay attention to this game quickly. Man, were the Minnesota Wild fast in that game. They were flying all around the ice, everywhere, like just... And then you're up 4-0. Score effect, shot attempts, and puck possession came into play. The shot attempts at the end of the night for this game was 89-52 for Vegas. Like, if you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, all right, we play that way again, we're going to win more games. No, that has nothing to do with this one. Let's really dive deep into, you know, the shot attempts, the quality of looks. Like, at the end of the night, the expected goals were very similar between the two of them, about 2.5. So, yeah, did Minnesota over... perform their expectation? Yes, but they were really good, and they put Vegas on notice now. Like, look, with Kaprizov, the way that he played, we have some quick players. Boldy was good. It is now a series.
Isn't Vegas your choice?
Vegas is my choice. Yeah.
Minnesota, I picked to win the round. So yeah. None of this is surprising. And
I felt pretty good yesterday when all the games had gone my way in the first 3 days of the, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. Everything went my way. Carolina won. Washington won. LA won. Colorado was up 1-0. And then they that got tied up. But, yeah, I felt pretty good. Now I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's a few series that are a lot closer than I would have thought. Mm-hmm. Ottawa kind of gave the Leafs a little bit of a run for their money, despite the fact that, you know, I think they got lucky to go to OT. But, I mean, it was a step in the right direction for Ottawa after getting spanked in the first one.
Yeah, but like for me, Minnesota, and if you're paying any attention to the series, and it's hard to, I get it, started at 11 o'clock last night. Minnesota's numbers, when healthy this year, were elite. They were top of class in the NHL. And we sat through the last 4 months of the year watching them try to perform without Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, but you're talking about two of the better players from a superstar and well-rounded standpoint. And it has made a huge difference. I look at their lines, I look at their depth, and I go, this team, and remember, I'm saying this all against the backdrop of me being one of the biggest Vegas supporters in the history of their 8-year franchise.
Especially
all
their backhand, their group of six defense. How
perfectly constructed they are. Mm-hmm. And they are. But I just think Minnesota's got something right now. They probably would have made it anyway, but the way they clinched with 20 seconds left in their final regular season game against Anaheim? I don't know. And, you know, I've also been on the Matt Boldy train for a long time here. And this kid just, he uses everything you want as a player. Really, everything.
Yeah. He's got good size. He drives the net well. He's got, so yeah, I think Minnesota to me yesterday was the one game. Look, 11 o'clock. Am I going to watch the whole game? Thank you for being up 3-0, 4-0. I kind of like just dozed off and it was like perfect. This morning I watched the end of it, you know, the highlights, the end of the game. I'm like, okay, did not miss much. Vegas made it 4-2, pulled the goalie. Kaprizov scores in an empty net. Fine. They gave it a little bit of a bounce back. Maybe it's more of a Vegas thing coming back after, you know, the game. And okay, like if we get rid of the start of the game, we're there. And it's a feel good thing. You got back into the game, make it 4-2. Blah blah blah. Minnesota was dominating you from the get go. Aiden Hill, without him, first 5 minutes, 8 minutes would have been 2-3-0 right then.
Right.
And then Minnesota took over more.
But Hill wasn't great, though, after that.
He wasn't great after that. That's what it is. But, I mean, probably, you know, everybody in Vegas has now the, ooh, okay, we have to be way better, right? And Minnesota is like, ooh, we can push them around. We can toy with them a little bit. We can skate better than them. Let's go. So that was the 11 o'clock game.
Can we stay with it for a sec?
Yeah, 11-10 puck drop, 11-12 puck drop, really. So it was a late affair for that one.
I know the series is 1-1, but do you have concerns about Eichel and Stone? Jack was not healthy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And as incredibly well-constructed as the Golden Knights are, I think it can be rather obvious when Jack is not 100%. Last night as the game wore on, I just didn't see enough. Like, I just didn't see the same Mark Stone that we've also often seen. I get it. It's one off, whatever. But I'm just curious what you've seen.
No, I think you're absolutely right. When Jack Eichel was on the ice yesterday, 5-on-5, his expected goals were not even a half a goal. Like, that's a bad, like, you're Jack Eichel. You're on the ice with your teammates. You should be able to create at least a number that would be in the 1.5 expected goals or whatever. I didn't think they shot the puck, but they never got to the inside. I almost feel like their mentality going in was, let's just be good defensively. Let's just try to shut it down. And because that's what Eichel has been deemed at, like this defensive all-around 200-foot player now in Stone. And they almost handcuffed themselves. Like, you have to play. Well, Jack Eichel should have been a 100-point player this year. He got banged up, so he didn't get to 100 points. But that's why he was so good in all parts of the game this year, because he had the puck. He was good offensively. He was working hard to come back. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to take the approach that let's go out and dominate offensively. We'll be fine defensively. But the health and the injury late in the season is a worry to me, because it didn't look like Jack Eichel and Mark Stone that we should expect in the playoffs.
Anything else on that? Or you want to jump to something else?
No. And it's interesting because you lose a game at home and a lot of people are like, it's over, right? But I feel like the way Minnesota, as you pointed out, the way Minnesota got into the playoffs, the way that they played down the stretch, the way that they seemed to always defy some of the odds and some of the, you know, the numbers, even coming into this game and winning game two in Vegas, I say this will be a very important game three. I get it. It's every game is important in the playoffs, but Minnesota win game three, it is going to be a big uphill battle for Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Well, sticking with goaltenders who ended up not having great nights, this might be, let's go Florida, because obviously that series was, you know, last to start in history and Stanley Cup titles between these two and really representing the East for the last half dozen years. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your takeaway on Vasilevskiy's night? Like, we saw him have a clunker against Buffalo this year. But they still won the game 6-5. Last night, there was no chance they were going to win the game based on what he wasn't stopping. And, you know, the, call it what you will, the Matthew Tkachuk, I don't even know. Like, Florida just looked, this is why I picked Florida. And I know you're super high on Tampa here. So, like, what were you shocked at what you were watching last night?
We've seen Vasilevskiy have those kind of nights, and that was always the, well, he bounces back from those like anybody, like nobody does, right?
Exactly.
So I'm not concerned about Vasilevskiy. I have a concern that Tampa was so not ready to play this game. They weren't ready to defend against, you know, man, this Florida Panthers team was coming rolling. Matthew Tkachuk was coming rolling. Florida went 3-for-3 on the power play. Like, Tampa wasn't ready to know what Florida was going to bring on the power play. That, John Cooper wasn't ready. What an awful, awful challenge. It's 3-0.
He laughed it off, though, huh?
He laughed it off. I didn't listen to what, like, he said after the game.
No, but the bench interview right after it happened. Oh. With Emily.
That one was on mute for me. I had the other one on the sound.
No, he was like, well, you never know with these things. You gotta, and I'm like,
no, it was awful.
I'm like, John, everyone knows on this. Like, this was even after having the conversation we had yesterday about the value of the officials analyst. That was the first time I had ever heard Dave Jackson be demonstrative and say, I don't understand this challenge.
Well, go, way to go, Jax, because I like Dave Jackson. But it, like, it was so, like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, good goal. And you move on. It's 3-0. Okay, it's not over. But then you challenge, and you give up the first of three power play goals right after that.
Yeah.
And it's 4-0. And you're like, this was stupid. This was the worst challenge in, well, I don't know. I can't say in hockey because there's been some worse challenge. But in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs, thank you. That was the worst challenge in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
And it put Tampa in a bad spot. But Vesey looked blah. Tampa looked blah. And I blame the 8:48 start time Eastern. Like, people were like, and I'm sitting at home and I put it on Twitter. I'm like, I'm sorry, but no. 8:48 start time. People were like, what? It's, you know, it's the same for both teams. I'll tell you this, why it's not the same for both teams. It's not the same for Florida, who is in a hotel, who is like, okay, well, we just kind of, like, it's different for Tampa at home. Like, if I think a 7 o'clock game, I would usually leave the house around 3:30, get to the rink at about 4:15, depending on where I lived and how long it took me. And then it's a 7 o'clock game. All of a sudden, it's an 8:30 game, but we all know it's going to be an 8:45, 8:50 puck drop.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is delayed almost 2 hours. Like, your lunch is delayed 2 hours. Your nap time is delayed 2 hours. Your driving to the rink is delayed 2 hours. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm in the middle of traffic jams. Instead of being before the traffic, I'm in the middle of traffic.
I don't know if those exist there, but I get what you're saying.
In Tampa, it does. I'm just saying, like, it's a big, the difference is bigger for the home team than the road team.
Mm-hmm.
In the road team is like, whatever.
Right.
What time is, boss? I'm going to be in my hotel room. Let's go. It's completely different. People may say it doesn't make sense, but having lived it, it does. It makes sense. Playing 8 o'clock at home all these years in Buffalo, I hated it because it just, it was a big difference. Playing 8 o'clock on the road, playing 3 o'clock on the road, 1 o'clock on the road. It's like, whatever. I'm on the road. I got a deal about me. Like, that's it.
So are you saying that John Cooper needs to have his team stay in a hotel prior to game two?
Guys hate that, but I just think John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning got to say, don't you dare give me another home start at 8:50 Eastern PM. Look at Vegas last night. Vegas, it's 11:10, right? 11:20 start. So it's an 8:10, 8:20 start in Vegas. Who was the worst team of the two? The home team, Vegas. The road team was fine. The home team came out flying. I think there's... Again, some people were like, Marty, there's a 40-minute difference between 7:30 and 8:20 or whatever, 8:10. And I'm like, it makes a big difference when you're used to always do the same thing and you prepare that way and your meetings and all of a sudden the game is at a much different time. And yes, you have to be pro. You have to adjust to it. But Tampa was not ready to play that game. They looked awful. They couldn't handle Tkachuk. They couldn't handle Reinhardt. They just couldn't handle them. They were bad. They were really bad.
And they lost Cirelli as well.
Nah.
Early. He played 6 minutes. I don't know. It was a tough look all around for the Lightning last night. And just especially based on, you know, like the Panthers have obviously adapted to what they've seen head to head against the Lightning and yeah. in the most recent years, based on a finals appearance and a Stanley Cup last year. It just looks like Florida. And we still have not seen the full Panthers roster because Ekblad doesn't play till game three. But one word for Matthew Tkachuk?
I want to say, can I do three words? Build for playoffs. Like he's like, okay, I'll come in and I'll be a wrecking ball and I'll show you why. Like I needed to rest and I needed to be ready for the playoffs. And that's like Matthew, I was trying to compare him with Brady last night. And again, Brady did score a goal yesterday and, you know, it was hardly kind of a lucky bounce, but I'm like, Matthew is in another level. Brady is fun. Brady is good, but Matthew is on another level and they shouldn't even be compared.
Now, do you say that because Matthew's resume is longer?
No, because I think Brady is
like Brady hasn't had the chance to be on this stage. Until
yeah, he
now,
hasn't.
Right. So that changes everyone's perception of a player, right? And sometimes through no fault of that player, right? Yeah. Like your team's just not good enough to get there. But here, let me phrase it a different
Matthew
way.
Has better skills. Matthew has better speed.
Okay.
Maybe the only part that Matthew doesn't have is if there was a fight between Matthew and Brady, I think Brady wins.
This is what I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if they had to go toe-to-toe, who wins the fight?
Brady. I think Brady's stronger.
Do you know that? I immediately thought that. And then I thought, no, Matthew's dirty enough that he'll figure out a way to win the fight. And that's not to say Brady's not dirty. He's a Tkachuk. Yeah. He has to be dirty.
But even like Brady, when he loses his mind, and it unravels quickly. Matthew, when he loses his mind, has a way to do it under control. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gets to you, and then maybe he'll get to you again, but then it's like it's under control. And maybe the difference in all of this is because Brady's the captain, and I think Brady Tkachuk's a fantastic player. I don't like him as a captain because when he loses his mind, the rest of the team is like, that's our captain, and then all of a sudden everybody loses mind. Like they did in game one against Toronto. Yeah. They unraveled against Toronto.
Yeah.
The difference is Matthew Tkachuk's not the captain.
I don't know if it was
Brady
undoing it all in that, though. I thought...
Well, it wasn't.
Right? Yeah. I mean, there were just undisciplined plays by Ottawa.
It was Ridley Gregg. It was everybody, right? Like, it was undisciplined, but you're the captain. But I think Matthew Tkachuk not being the captain in Florida allows, like, Barkov to maybe look over at one point and go, hey, Chucky, like, okay, we're good. Like, I think that's why it works in that way. You can be a little out of line, but somebody brings you over the line.
Well,
oh, and by the way,
that's a great point, by the way. Like, what would Matthew Tkachuk be there without Barkov?
Yeah.
And then you could play this game and say, what would Sam Reinhart be? And what would Carter Verhaeghe be? And what would this player be? Like, the Kings never win the two cups without Kopitar. And like, I don't even know how you put a value on the stabilizing star presence of someone like that on a team. And you're 100% right. Like, we know Matthew's amazing. He's awesome. But you have to have that. And Barkov is that. He's always been that.
The difference between Barkov and Kopitar, let's just say, as opposed to maybe a Ryan O'Reilly, is that they keep doing it a year after year after year, and their teams benefit from it. Like Ryan O'Reilly, after leaving Buffalo, he won the cup in St. Louis. Yeah, he was the Conn Smythe. It was unbelievable, right? But then he goes to Toronto. It didn't materialize to anything, and it's not O'Reilly's fault per se, but like, and then in Nashville this year that didn't work. Like, put Barkov in that same situation. Barkov, let's see, in St. Louis wins, then he goes to Toronto. It makes Toronto so much better. Not O'Reilly better. It makes Toronto Barkov better or Kopitar better. I think that's the difference. They're all great players, mm-hmm. especially as defensive centers yeah. or all-around good centers. But Barkov and Kopitar, for example, are in another league.
They are. Real quick on another goalie.
Stolarz. So,
allow me not to taint this. Scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Markstrom's performance?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
It's last night with the Devils.
I want to say I would rate it probably a 7.
Yeah. That was the number I would have guessed. I hated the winning goal.
And, you know, like, he's flopping, he's died, like, he's down, whatever. Like, was that the winning goal? Or was that the first goal?
No, it's just they scored twice in succession. After the great first period the Devils had,
yes.
Carolina then scores twice. And the second one was from that left wing position.
Oh, yeah. No, the first one was the one where he's flopping.
It's like, you got to have this one.
You know what is funny?
Sure enough, like, it was so hard for the Devils the rest of the way. And I'm like, this is And I don't like pinning it all on one guy. I knew the Devils were going to be really hard pressed to try to get to recover from that moment.
So that's the same shot that Ray Ferraro said it was a bad goal on Freddie Anderson in the first game when Freddie gave up that goal off the Nico Hischier shot, right? And Ray Ferraro was like, you got to make that save. Look, is it a good shot? Yes. But is it a makeable save for Jacob Markstrom in that moment where your team needs you to keep
when
it at 1-1?
100%. For just that? 100%.
100%. You need to make that save. So, look, the Devils played hard. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we were going to say, well, Sheldon Keefe is going to have some hard time getting out the first round again.
I just wish Jack Hughes was there. That's all.
Exactly. Among you don't others. Have Jack Hughes. Don't have Luke Hughes. You don't have you're missing so many pieces.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me about Anthony Stolarz and Ridly Gregg and a good punching and slashing and punching and whatever.
Why would I ever bring that series up? In fact, we have a commercial break to get to. This is amazing timing. And
this is great timing. We'll ask Shayna about it.
I won't. I'll sit the next shift out. We have a lot to look forward to this weekend. Marty said it's a short week for us. We don't have a Friday show, but Friday is a big day for both the Amerks and the Bandits. Bandits are home for quarterfinal action in the NLL, and the Amerks kick off their playoffs. Marty, you have no idea how much time I spent revisiting the last 2 years of Rochester-Syracuse and the box scores and the drama that unfolded over these five-game series. So it all begins again on Friday night at Blue Cross Arena, and we encourage you to not only be there for the game on Friday and game two on Sunday at 3, but get there for the festivities on Friday night. Genesee pregame happy hour for fans 21 and older from 6 to 7 in the brew house inside of Blue Cross Arena. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, features live music, $3 12-ounce cans of Jenny and Jenny Light. And first 5,000 fans in attendance for game one receive an Amerks rally towel courtesy of Genesee Brewing Company. It is going to be terrific to see. By the way, there's 8 players on the Amerks roster who were in that first series, Rochester-Syracuse, back in 2023. So that includes Jiří Kulík, who had a torrid start to his playoff career back then. So looking forward to Friday night and definitely looking forward to Shayna Goldman next here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Time for a segment that we could dub Inflammatory Comments. And Marty and Shayna have no idea where I'm going with this, but welcome in Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, as this has been on my mind for a couple of days, Marty. So I think Shayna might be able to answer spontaneously. Like, who's had some of the most inflammatory comments here in the NHL the last, I don't know, week or so? Like, is it DeHaan against the Rangers? Is it Dylan Larkin saying that the Wings were impacted by not making a move at the trade deadline and the guys were down about it? Is it Jonathan Marchessault saying, clearly it didn't work, when talking about Andrew Brunette and his offensive philosophy? And then he doubled down by throwing bouquets and talking about how Bruce Cassidy adjusts and adjusts and adjusts. Yeah. And I'm like, this is kind of interesting hearing some very strong opinions being shared. Shayna, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of love it. I'm going to go with Dylan Larkin here because I think his were actually the most neutral of all, right? But he's the player you don't expect to hear this from. Jonathan Marchessault saying Andrew Brunette doesn't adjust, and you go, oh, well, shouldn't we have known that one already? Like, his stint in Florida said as much, and yeah. I don't want to just like insult Andrew Brunette and be like, he doesn't know what he's doing. But sometimes you wonder, like, are you better as an associate coach or a head coach? And when he went to New Jersey and he did so well there, it was like, maybe he learned something and he's going to bring something different than what he brought in Florida. Cause I felt like he just didn't adjust there. He was handed a well-oiled ship and it just fell apart. And you go, oh, just kidding. You're the same guy that was there before. And with the Rangers, I mean, DeHaan's comments are just skimming the surface of what's gone wrong there. And you expect to hear a little bit of drama. But for Dylan Larkin, I wouldn't have expected him to actually say anything, right? Like, we've heard from him before how it hurt that Tyler Bertuzzi was traded because they're so tight. And yep. That's kind of normal. But to hear him throw that shot at management when Steve Yzerman has been held up on a pedestal for so long, and I think this year, since the Jake Walman mistake trade, you look at it and I feel like his stock is dropping. So to hear it kind of confirmed from a player, I didn't see that one coming.
Okay, I think we could throw in Jim Rutherford in there too with his comments on Quinn Hughes.
Oh my God,
well,
that's another level.
They weren't inflammatory. They were just perhaps misguided.
Well, they were inflammatory and the belief that he thinks that he could bring Jack and Luke Hughes to Vancouver. Like, that's never going to happen. Now, yesterday, I had some people on social media, Shayna, really be sick from my comment because I said, look, I don't think the Sabres would ever be in the game. But what would it take for the Sabres to bring all three Hughes to Buffalo? And I said, I think it would take Tage Thompson, JJ Peterka, Darlene, and potentially Bo Byram, right? Those four would have to be packaged some way. And people are like, no, that's, don't ever say that again, Marty. Like, we don't want, and I finished by saying I wouldn't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. But what do you think the Vancouver Canucks could salvage in
salvage?
It's garbage day tomorrow. So what could they get out of the garbage by trading Quinn Hughes this summer if they feel like that's the time to do it?
Fold the franchise? We love Allison Lucan so much here. And yes. She shot me a text saying, are you watching this availability very early on? So I knew to turn it on. So I was watching the entire time and I'm going, did he just say that 10 times before we even got up to the Quinn Hughes comments? And everyone's like insistence of they have to change Elias Pettersson. If they trade the one good player who they're actually happy with being who he is as a good player, just fold the franchise and call it a day. Okay. Put everyone out of their misery because you're not getting better than Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes is one of the most valuable players in the league, right? Like, if he wasn't hurt this year, I don't care if the Canucks made the playoffs or not, we probably would have been giving him the MVP trophy at the end of the year, and maybe the Norris as well. The difference in that team when he's on the bench versus on the ice is mind-boggling versus when he's not in the lineup at all. You cannot salvage a Quinn Hughes trade. You will lose that every day of the week. The only way it would make sense is if he were to say, I am not extending here. And unless you have that written in stone, you do nothing.
But I think we know that, that's what caused all the Rutherford comments. Like, is there anyone that doesn't believe he plans to go to New Jersey now in 2 years?
I don't think he necessarily does. I feel like that's more of like a vibey thing of
really?
One day I'd like to play with my brothers versus I'm leaving right now. Like, I don't. But I could see it, like, if they throw away the next 2 years, like they did this season, and let things fester and become just a total train wreck in a year, could he say, I want out? No one should blame him. But, like, I don't think they're at that point just yet.
Shayna, over my left shoulder, I got my little New York Islanders flag right there. You know, the four teams I played are in my background. Do you think I should send in my resume? And would I have a chance? Because this is going to be a long search in Long Island to try to find a replacement from Lemoriello over there.
Okay, first of all, you played on Long Island, so you should know to say on, not in. That I will never get over. But I think everyone should send in their resumes. First of all, that organization should have done this years ago. And I'll tell you guys a quick story. Two years ago, I think it was, I wrote the story that they should get rid of Lou Lamoriello and that his antiquated ways were holding this team back. I went through every trade he did, every contract he handed out. This was after the 7-year deals with no movement clause and everyone going, but they're inexpensive. Don't worry about it. But guess what? That adds up at the end of the day. People trying to excuse the Taves trade going, they didn't have the cap space. Guess what? You make the cap space. And if you don't have cap space, it's because you mismanaged your cap to that point. I got torched for writing that story. And I sat there going, that's fine. You can love Lou all you want because he brought you Barry Trotz, but he's done nothing else, right? And Barry Trotz brought in Mitch Korn and everything was great and lovely, but everything completely fell apart on that team. They put themselves in such a bad position waiting to do this until now and letting him just destroy things further for the last 2 years.
Okay, first of all, he is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
So I would like to give proper respect and acknowledge that they have made the playoffs 5 of the last 7 years, and the foundation upon which they built the 5 playoffs of 7 years was their goaltending tandem, which did not have this year based on Varlamov's injury, and there was no adequate backup for Sorokin, and they also played without their best player, Matt Barzal, for more than 50 of the games this year. So there needs to be a little bit of wiggle room here, and not to take anything away from what you're saying, because we have all joined in this chorus many times before. I'm really curious about Marty throwing his resume in here, because a Waugh-Biron coach GM dynamic might be the best thing that's ever happened in NHL history.
I kind of love that, right? Like, goalies take over. I want more goaltender respect. And I feel like that would be the only way for us to get, like, really, really wild concepts out there, right? Like, we're taking goalies out and putting them back in a little bit more often. Like, most managers might look at their coach and be like, what are they doing? I feel like Marty's going to be like, okay, I have this idea. We're going to put in a goalie just for the shootout. Like, we're going to try this today. Okay, this is our PK specialist in net. Like, I want to see, like, three goalies dressed random nights just to see if we start rotating. Like, have a goalie be out there and as a defender, but they sit on the bench the whole time. And then when you need them, just, like, strap them up in the pads and let them rip.
Wasn't Jordan Binnington doing the reverse that one year in St. Louis? At the end of the game, he dressed as a player to go out on the ice to celebrate with his teammates. Like, with 5 minutes left, he went into the locker room and was like, he put a jersey, put shin pads on, the whole player thing, which was kind of funny. Okay. Sabres, like, so we talked Long Island. They're going to do a GM search or whatever. Kevin Adams mentioned that he would meet with Terry Pegula this week, maybe early next week. We don't know the exact timing on that. And that he feels like this team should have been a playoff team. And we all know, like, the power play wasn't good enough this year. And goaltending was a big question mark as well. Can those two, just those two things, be fixed for Kevin Adams to say, this is my summer and I'm going to fix those two things and we're going to be a playoff team next year because we will fix those two things?
I think the two things are fixable. I think the power play is a fixable thing, right? Like, they have good talent. They have players we know can be weapons on the power play, right? Like, they had a great power play not so long ago that you go, okay, the potential is there for it. And the goaltending too, like, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was really good last year. And you still have Levi right there who has a ton of potential, right? And they can make that work. It's making that work without breaking anything else. And that is, like, the hardest line sometimes to walk, because say you go out for personnel that's going to fix one certain area. You're playing someone on a regular basis because you know they're going to be a real weapon here. They're going to be a specialist in this department, this, that, or the other thing. Like, you don't want it that now you're disrupting chemistry elsewhere, or now that you're putting your lineup at a disadvantage, right? And if you're bringing somebody in, it means who are you taking out, or how are you tweaking things this way or that way? Are you leaving the roster the same and hoping coaching can do it? Like, there's all these different elements to balance. And it's never easy to just say, hey, there's one thing to fix here, two things to fix here. I think that it's a big summer for Adams. I think to separate, you know, maybe his past off seasons from this one and go, I'm going to start taking bigger swings and I'm going to take these leaps without doing it in too drastic of a way that you damage what you've built. So I think this is a really big opportunity for him, because we saw them do minimal roster changes last year and say, we're going to let the coaching take over and see what the difference is. Now I think you have to go the other way.
I mentioned Mitch Marner on this show. I think if Mitch Marner becomes an unrestricted free agent, there will be 31 teams calling Mitch Marner to see what would it take. And the Sabres probably be one of those teams with the cap space they have and bringing in a player like that. But with what's going on with the New York Rangers, I mentioned Chris Kreider on the show the other day. Do you think Chris Kreider would be a good fit in Buffalo and filling in maybe top six, top nine duty, especially on the wing? I think there's a hole on the wing with what they have right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that he still has a lot left in the tank, and it was just a bad year with a lot of injuries, and he was far from the only person that struggled this year. And I think a lot of people can point to the fact that it's, you know, his point totals were very slanted towards the goals and he didn't have many assists. And yeah, that tends to be the case for him. It has been for some time. And I think the fact that he jumped out and had that, like, breakthrough goal scoring season, like, he got deferred to as the goal scorer on his line a little bit more when it should have been him and Mika Zibanejad with more of a balanced approach. But he still brings a lot to the table, because this is a guy that when he's healthy, and his back is going to be really important in this one after he had a back injury and a hand injury, right? For the two things that he needs to be, you know, firing on all cylinders to play his power play role. But this is someone who's really good at tipping, deflecting pucks and screening goaltenders. But he brings a lot more to the table, right? Because you look at someone like Anders Lee and Chris Kreider, and I feel like they've always been compared. Anders Lee, to me, is as good as it gets in the net front area. And Chris Kreider doesn't quite hit those levels, but he brings other things to the table. Like, he's really good off the rush, and, you know, he can create goals in a couple different ways. And he has the speed and the strength to go with that net front ability. This year, you just kind of saw everything come to a total stop. Like, he's rushing into the zone, but he's getting shots off the rush, but they're from the point. Like, he's not going all the way and going to the net front area. I wonder if a full offseason to train and get healthy and get his body right would get him back on track. And if that's the case, yeah, I think every team that has a hole at wing should be considering that too, because this isn't a free agent now. You have to sign for 8 years into their 30s. You just have the last couple years of his deal.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. Duffer asked me a question at the end of the show yesterday about coaches and who is the next, you know, Spencer Carberry or even Marty St. Louis, to that matter, that would come in kind of like
wildly different out of nowhere. But on Carberry and St. Louis, though.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Carberry, like AHL, and then assist in the NHL and build that track record. So I came up with three guys that maybe would fit that mold. And I don't know if you have any, you know, experience with these guys or whatnot, but I have Dan Quinn, obviously, Denver, you know, in college, he's
Dan
been
Carl?
Pretty good.
You mean was Dave that? Carl?
What? No, not Dan Quinn, Dave Carl, sorry. Dan Quinn used to be college, and yes, so Dave Carl, sorry. I started messing that one up.
I was like, are we going football here? Wait, like, no, it took me a second.
No, not that. Dave Carl, you're right. I played with his brother, Matt Carl. I don't know why I messed that up. Jay Leach, who is an assistant in Boston, but a lot of people are talking about, and Ian LaPerriere, who is the head coach in Lehigh Valley this year in the AHL. Any one of those three you think will get a shot this year in the NHL with the openings that are there with coaching?
I can see LaPerriere getting a shot. I won't be surprised if he gets one. Carl, I think, is going to wait for the perfect opportunity, and who can blame him? Because you leave a perfect position for an NHL role for what? A potential of 2 years somewhere before a team might move on from you because it's such an impatient league, and the league average is, what, 2.3 years across 32 benches? I want to add two names to your list. I would like to add Jay Pandolfo at BU if we're going the college route, and I would like to add Brad Shaw, who I think is one of the smartest minds and is as elite of an assistant coach as it gets. And I would be very curious to see what he does as a head coach. We really haven't seen it yet, but we've seen him learn from the school of torts and then bring his own flair to it. So I think that would be interesting. I also want to talk about one name that's already in the league, and that is, I'm going to butcher it, I say his name wrong every time and I'm apologizing, but Ryan Warsofsky. I think I got it right this time, in San Jose. I am very intrigued by him because he was one of those coaches that was touted as like the next best thing to watch. And I think he did a great job in San Jose this year. It felt different than it did a year ago, despite their standing. So I'd like to see him cook there a little bit more too.
All right, we have to go. 3 seconds or less. Is Lou Lamoriello now retired?
He should be.
Okay. Thanks, Shayna.
Thank you.
We're back after this on Sabres Live.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Discover the training secrets and net-minding insight of North America's finest goaltending school at the Tre'Davious White Goalie Academy of Louisiana at Buffalo. Learn from the best that this country has to offer. High school All-American Trey White, as he teaches the same techniques that led to back-to-back-to-back Louisiana State National Championships.
All you,
welcome
Marty.
Back. That was so good. I thought it was going to go a lot longer because there's a whole commercial going on there where we have either Carter Sutton making an appearance. Sutton, his boy Sutton was there. So, what? Welcome back, Trey White. I'm excited about it. I get it. It's been a tough few years with the injuries and all of that, but so happy to have number 27 back in the fold. And maybe we'll do a follow-up video of his new training, goalie academy, because he learned other things wherever right. He's gone. He may have learned things.
I would say that this is perfect bookending to the show based on my opening words saying, how's your save percentage?
Yeah, I know. Seriously. When I did that commercial, my save percentage was probably 500. Like, that's how bad I was in that day. Hey, quickly, because tonight we have three games. Montreal is at Washington for game two. Game three of Stars at Colorado. Landeskog, watch. I think he's playing tonight. And Oilers at Kings. Stuart Skinner probably will play for the Oilers, but that's still a question mark. Duffer, what do you think?
I think he will probably emerge as a winner tonight. Ooh. For Edmonton. See you tomorrow.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT, 888-843-6837.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball,
Every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.